Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're going to jump back into our Union with Christ series. Before we do, I just thank God for these opportunities to share with you. I really enjoy them. Certainly, you know, we have a lot of them to do, but I enjoy every one of them, and I trust that you are as well. By all means, go to jimhockaday.com and find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and I challenge you and encourage you, send in your grace stories. Nothing's too small. You realize it's the little foxes that spoil the vine is what Song of Solomon 2:15 says. So it's the little testimonies that bring repair. In other words, it's the consistent everyday God being in your life, and you know that he's there because you're experiencing his influence in just about any and everything. I'll share with you one of these really fun stories. I'm really excited to share this only because it's kind of turned into a little bit of a running, I wouldn't say joke, but fun grace story that others are encouraged to cash in on, if you will. This is another ice cream grace story. I know some of you are going, oh my gosh, another one? Yes, think about this. It says, my daughter and I had our own ice cream blessing. Kira, my daughter and I went out to get some ice cream last Sunday. I was blessed to find a coupon online. We went back to the car, ready to leave, and I decided to surprise my husband with one too. They did have his favorite topping. I went back inside, ready to pay the cashier. I asked the lady if I could use the coupon again. She replied I could, but that her register showed I had $5 to use toward my order. My husband's ice cream was only 50 cents. Wow, I was so thankful to the Lord for such a wonderful blessing. I had been praying for my husband's salvation. I was especially excited to share our heavenly blessing with him. So you see, little things. And I realize someone could roll their eyes because they're a skeptic and their heart is hardened and say, oh, well, whatever, ice cream, you know, that could happen to anybody. Listen. The more real you allow God to be in your life, the more you'll see he's so normal and real. He's not wanting you, you know, to have to wear a three-piece suit every day and act all religious and pious. He likes to get involved with just about anything and everything you do. So to think that God actually likes ice cream, that blesses my heart. Maybe we'll have some in heaven. Who knows? That's obviously not the point. The point is that by opening up your heart to let God become real to you, and this is our first reason why we do these videos, you'll begin to experience that he really does want to influence your life, even in the smallest of things. And now recognize, big things, small things is only our consciousness. God doesn't think, well, ice cream is little, but healing someone of a cancerous tumor is difficult. No. Remember what Jesus said to the man that was paralyzed. He said, get up. Of course, the Pharisees were all, you know, he told him, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees were all upset about this. You being a man, you blaspheme because man can't forgive sin. And Jesus said, which is easier, to forgive his sin or to raise this man up? But you might know the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Take up your bed and walk. And the man got up and walked. But notice Jesus said, which is easier? Meaning both of them were easy to him. Everything is simple to God. Why? Well, number one, it's paid for. I remember just recently we were with our family and Chloe, our youngest daughter, got married, and what a wonderful time it was. And she and her husband, Charles, are living in South Carolina. What a wonderful couple. And we miss them greatly because we're not able to be with them very often. But we went out for lunch a day before the actual wedding. And so we were out to lunch at a buffet, and it was a very nice one. And I just slipped in there and paid for everyone. I think we probably had about 15 or 16 people. Paid for everyone. And everyone just went down, sat down. And of course, the food's there on the buffet tables. And there were 10 tables full of food. how nice it was to watch everybody just so quickly jump up, go get their food, and just start talking and laughing and enjoying themselves. And when it was all done, I gave a nice tip and everyone just left and enjoyed themselves. They didn't have to bother themselves with trying to make something happen because it was already provided. This is what God wants to do every single day of your life. Even if the stories are small, all stories should be small. We thank the Lord for His grace. Amen. Well, we're going to get back into what we're doing here, but we're going to go ahead and give you Matthew 11, 27 to 30. 5 minutes have already gone by. We're not going to try to keep you, but let's just get a hold of everything we can. The next few moments, our union with Christ. So Jesus resumed talking to the people. Verse 27 to 30, Matthew chapter 11 in the Message Bible. And it says, but now tenderly, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, that sums up so much right there, because that's an amazing invitation for us to experience God, not just know about Him from a book, but to experience Him personally. Our union with Christ. I'm over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and I'm going to read again, because you know it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed. Well, how many old things have passed away? It says, behold, all things have become new. If all things have become new, then all old things have passed away. Well, it says in the Barclay translation, his old life is gone forever. A new life has come into being. And in the Lombok translation, it said, a new man has been created. Do you realize God went back to the creation table? We thought all creation was done in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, where He looked over everything that He had made and said it was very good. Well, do you realize in Christ, He put everything that was necessary to make a brand new creation. And this new creation would come out of an old creation, that the moment you confess Jesus as Lord, He would literally bring heaven into your soul and change your nature from a sinful being to a divine nature being, where God Himself could then impart His life into you and live in and through you to magnify your life and cause it to experience heaven on earth. Sounds too good to be true, but that's the gospel message. The gospel message means the too good to be true good news. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says in the LSC translation, the Father took the Son, who never had any evil in Him, and laid the evil of the universe on Him. The Living Bible says, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into Him our sin. Then in exchange, He poured God's goodness into us. I like the idea that He poured, like there was a vessel, and He poured that into us. But the first thing I like is that Jesus took all of our sin. God the Father poured that sin of the whole entire world, past, present, and future, and the sin problem once and for all into Christ. And that sin caused Jesus to disfigure until Isaiah said He didn't look human. There was no comeliness in Him. In other words, it deformed Him until He didn't look human. At that moment, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the first time Jesus cried out to God as God instead of Father. Because in that moment, He represented us, and we did not have a Father in God. He was just God. We were unredeemed. We were lost in our sin. We were children of darkness, not children of light. And the sin was poured into Him, so that as He took that pain and that suffering, and He took our place and went to hell and yet defeated all of hell and came out of heaven with all the glory that He ever had from the beginning. Now God the Father, to anyone that calls on his name, can pour all of that glory into you. And you become a son or daughter or child of the Most High God. And John said over in 1 John chapter 3, now, beloved, you are sons of God. And you are. I love how he repeats himself, because you think, what? No, really, it's true. It's true. We're sons of God. I know the world doesn't want us to know that. They think that's too high and lofty. But I'm sorry, I didn't come up with it. God came up with it. And he raised us high. And he raised us up to sit together in heavenly places, that we would walk in that place as sons of God. Oh, goodness. You're not just the human flesh you think you are. There's something so powerful. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on. There's reasons why we have these scriptures, and it's not to quote, it's to live. Living Bible said, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sin. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 said in the Revelation translation, may God may come to share in the very being of God, or that we would come to share in the very being of God. That is the merger of two beings, God as a being, humanity as a being, and the merger together through Christ makes you a brand new creation. You could say it this way, because this is in one translation in 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, verse 17. It says a brand new species of being. It's like National Geographic saying, we have found a brand new species. Well, it's actually not brand new. It's just brand new to them. But we actually are a brand new species, one that never was. But the moment you call upon his name, you become that brand new species. And so you might want to ask yourself the question, well, what can that brand new species do? Hey, that's a good question. And God's grace will help you to understand that every day of your life until, my goodness, you're starting to just show people what it looks like instead of telling them what it is. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, the Schonfield translation said, but he who united himself with the master forms a single spirit. The Living Bible says, you and Christ are joined together as one person. Are we getting this? We are no longer like we used to be. God took two. He merged them. Well, ice cream, here we go again. Come on, do you remember? Some of you old enough to remember soft serve ice cream when it did come out, because it used to just be like the real deal. You know what I mean? Just in big buckets, and you could just order what you wanted to order. And I always loved the black raspberry, you know, I'd get that most of the time. But all of a sudden, soft ice cream came out, and it was chocolate and vanilla. But somebody was smart enough to say, if we could get a little chocolate coming from this side and a little vanilla coming from this side, we could swirl them together and it would be called a twist or a swirl. And all of a sudden, we had a new ice cream cone called the swirl or twist. And it was chocolate and ice cream, but it was one cone. And that's what we are with Jesus. Two have been made one, and he is so much greater than we were. So thank God he brought all of his blessing. He canceled out all of our curses, and we have become merged into his blessing until we are more like him than he was ever like us. I'm telling you, we get the great end of this deal, and yet so does God, because now he has a new family. Ephesians 4, 23 to 24. Wade translation said, we are created after the divine pattern. You mean there's a pattern? Yeah, heaven's pattern. And we're created after that pattern. Come on, God's the CEO. Yes, he is. Amen. He's got the blueprint on everything. The pattern, the blueprint, the architect. He knows every single cell of your body, the DNA. He knows where your molecules are going and where they should go and where they shouldn't go. He knows what's in your body and what shouldn't be in your body. And I'm telling you what, the heavenly pattern is health and wholeness and victory and strength and light. Don't let anybody talk you out of that just because their mind is so deflated through religion and tradition that they balk at this. Just because they've looked at Christians all their life and haven't seen the pattern expressed like it could be expressed, doesn't mean that it's not potentially available to be expressed. And how are we going to see the greatness of God's plan unless we talk about it, stir people up about it? Paul even said the saying, stir yourself up on your most holy faith. Stir yourself up. God's got given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, Fenton's translation said, the new man, the one created God-like. This is the reason why we can do the same things that Jesus did. We are like him in every way. Fenton's translation, I'm going to read it again. It's pretty good. The new man, the one created God-like. You mean we're God-like? Come on for a moment, look back at Genesis chapter 1 sometime and go through that whole creation process. And what's one of the things that's repeated over and over and over and over again? Reproduce after your own what? Kind. So cats are to have cats and dogs are to have dogs. Palm trees have palm trees. Come on, everybody. This is pretty simple. Reproduce after your own kind. And then God got to verse 26 and 27 and says, let us make man in our own image and in our own likeness. And what in context did God say? Let's make a God kind of being. We are in the God class. I know people can look at this and scoff at it and think that we're saying something. We're not. We're not saying we're God. But we're in the God class. So if you want to resemble somebody, resemble God. Well, that's far-fetched. We're just humans. No, we've been made in his image and likeness. And image and likeness means representation and manifestation. We're a representation and a manifestation of God, which means we should be able to produce results like God did. We should have God kind of testimonies. Come on, I know you're getting this. I know you're getting this, and you need to hear it over and over again until all the naysayers go away and you just start actually letting God vent himself through you and through your life experience the God kind of tangible results that Jesus had while he was on the earth. And that's the reason why he would say, hey, I'm not keeping this to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone that's willing to listen. But what's the first thing that he had to negate and get out of the way? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on what? Religion. Come on, don't have a form of religion, but deny the power. And the power is the real relation and tangibility of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you're one of those Holy Ghost people. No kidding. That's where the power is. And unless the Holy Ghost is involved in your life, you will have no manifestations from God. So you can have God living in you and live a purely earthly life like anyone else who doesn't even know God. And that's one of the saddest things, I think, that saddens the heart of our Father. That we wouldn't take advantage of all the things that he's done that would give us such an amazing and wonderful life. I love this. You just can't get away from it. It's just too good almost to be true. In fact, I'm going to go over and find it in the Bible program instead of just what I have right here. But it's 1 John and chapter 4. And verse 17, and I want to look there, and I'm going to just look there in the New King James Version just because I've got it already marked in my Bible. But it says, love has been perfected among us in this. Remember what Jesus did? It was what he perfected. Jesus perfected not only the removal of sin, but the downloading of heaven into your soul. It says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What would make you bold? That all your sins are completely remitted, that your victory is in Christ, and he's taken your test, and he put 100+ on your report card, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. You are in him, and he is in you, and everything that would come to Jesus comes to you, and there's nothing but just praise and adoration for a life lived in Christ. Come on, and it goes on to say, boldness in that day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. What gives you the boldness? You're just like him. You're made in his pattern. You're one of the sons of God. Jesus, on one hand, is not only your Lord, but he's also your brother. This gives you boldness. And then it goes on to say, there is no fear in love. Why? Why would I be fearful if I've been raised up to sit together with him, if I'm one in him and he is one in me? But perfect love casts out fear. Well, let's just leave it right there for now. I just thank God for these opportunities to share with you. You can go and subscribe to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace. Bring people there. And you can also follow us on Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page. But by all means, go to the jhmi@jimhockaday.com email on our website and write us your grace story. Until then, God bless you all, and good things are happening all around you.